Okay, the next paper is entitled Tolerance of Buffalo Grass to Glyphosate Herbicide Formulations and Rates During Winter Dormancy. D. Martin, S. Batten, S. Thapa, presented by D. Martin.
Thank you, Patrick, and good morning. Buffalo grass is an important warm season perennial native grass found principally in the central Great Plains. Its range extends from south central Canada into north central Mexico, confined between the Rocky Mountain Range and also the Mississippi River. Even though it hasn't been specified much and used much in the last two decades, it remains very useful and in place on many low-maintenance sites, such as the cemetery and many utilitarian turf grasses under low maintenance. For those who haven't seen it up close, it bears both male and female flowers on separate plants. It's principally dioecious, but it is occasionally monoecious, having both flowers on the same plant occasionally. As with any warm season turf grass, winter annual weeds can intrude in it during the winter during the dormant phase when light goes to the soil surface and it benefits the weed seed's germination. Herbicides containing glyphosate are labeled for and have been used by turf managers for many decades on dormant Bermuda grass and dormant Bahia grass. And even though not technically labeled on the glyphosate labels, many warm season grass managers have used glyphosate successfully for winter annual weed control in dormant buffalo grass and also mixed stands of dormant buffalo and Bermuda. It puts extension educators in, like myself, and consultants in a difficult position sometimes because we want to provide effective but legal recommendations concerning weed control in dormant buffalo grass stands. This brings us to the researchable question, can the same rates of glyphosate that are typically used for winter annual weed control in dormant Bermuda grass, can they be safely used in dormant buffalo grass with acceptable risk? This shot's very important because it kind of sets the stage for the rest of the talk. This is a very dense, cultured stand of buffalo grass. After frost, the pigments have been bleached by strong sunlight. We're about 2 inches above the canopy. We look down through, and we don't see any live tissue there. There's such a dense canopy in place. It's a very attractive stand, but also that serves to break up spray droplets such that they cannot hit weed seedlings below that canopy, nor can they hit green, red, or purple live metabolic tissue of buffalo grass below. Yet if you part the canopy with your hands, you can see that the stand is still quite alive below that insulation layer. Now, when I part this, and I talk about this later on, we do not part canopies to do live shoot counts later on in the trial, but you can use this as a technique to check on the health of the stand. As we reviewed the literature, we found no research concerning investigators working on the tolerance of buffalo grass to glyphosate formulations or their use rates during winter dormancy. Even though several extension publications and garden websites regularly refer to the use of glyphosate for winter annual weed control in dormant buffalo grass. Paul Johnson and his group reported on the use of glyphosate spot spray for weed control in dormant buffalo at Mead, Nebraska when it was mowed at 1.6 inches, but they did not list the rate used. Ali Haravandian group in 1995 in California Turf Culture reported that they used glyphosate on the seeded buffalo cultivar Highlight 25. It successfully killed winter annual weeds, but also severely injured the buffalo grass that was straw-colored and presumably dormant at the time. That brings us to the purpose of this research, to determine the rates of glyphosate herbicide that can be used during winter dormancy to control weeds with acceptable risk to buffalo, and also to help in development of data packages to assist Monsanto in label expansion concerning the use of dormant buffalo grass glyphosate applications. Our objectives of this research were to evaluate the performance of an isopropylamine and a potassium salt formulation of glyphosate at those four use rates. Now, Monsanto wished us to target this as the 1x rate in helping to manage against weed resistance development. So we consider the 0.77 rate, the 1x rate in these trials, this the 3/4, this the half, and this the 2x rate, representing a double overlap or a miscalculation. The products investigated were Roundup Pro Max, the potassium salt form, and Roundup Pro Concentrate, and a concentrated isopropylamine form. Please note if you use recommendations from this trial or findings from this trial, the concentrations do vary across the different products, and always read the labels and perform work carefully. A little bit of a background on how we conducted the trial. Our trials were initiated in March of 2010 and March 2011. I'll give specific application dates in just a moment. We used either randomized complete block or completely randomized designs, depending upon the year and the individual use site. Our plot size in 2010 was 5 foot wide, and we moved it to 6 feet wide in 2011. And then they were of varying lengths from 5 to 10 feet, depending upon the size and the amount of area that we had available for the trial. We used an R&D brand bicycle sprayer, CO2 pressurized, turbo 05 nozzles, and you see some more specifics regarding pressure there. But more importantly, we used the label suggestion of 40 gallons per acre carrier rate. Now, on the glyphosate labels, they will refer to a 10 to 40 gallon per acre carrier rate for these dormant applications, and we used a spray dye as well. There's our 8 treatments and control. You can see the not only the product, but also the acid equivalent applied per acre in this column, and then the product use rate. Now, I designed this as a factorial, but when I do the analysis, I'm going to talk about ANOVA and simple mean comparison with the LSD process later on. Here's our herbicide treatment by experiments, cultivars that we utilized, the experimental designs, the replications involved in each, and the application dates in 2010. The cultivars that we worked on were Bison, Bowie, Cody, and Texoca as seeded types, and then a local prominence common that's been there since who knows when, and then an experimental female clonal type, the KD2006-15. I've lost my pointer. There it is. In 2011, there's our application dates. We used the same sites, re-randomized, and we moved to completely randomized designs for the most part, to try to pick up more testing power in the second year of the trial this year, except with one exception that required blocking on this female clonal site. These were all located at Stillwater, Oklahoma, but various sites around the community. We scored using the typical National Turf Evaluation Program NTEP methods. We rated visual greenup weekly after application until all treatments had reached a green-up value of 9, which is the highest possible. One is still straw-colored. And then once the untreated checks reached a value of 9 for green-up, we began rating for visual quality once a week as well for up to 2 months if needed if there was damage. We used split-plot design in terms of the analysis with herbicide treatments as main plots and dates as subplots. The herbicide treatment means were separated based on Fisher's protected LSD test, and we used the SAS software for Windows operating system version 9.1. Also very vital to this research was a count of live shoots that were visible in the canopy, and there we were looking at the potential for spray droplets to contact metabolic tissue, which would potentially cause the injury. So we sampled 1 square foot. The applicator reviewed the stand, took 10 random samples of 1 square foot, and recorded the live green visible shoots present, actually green, red, or purple in color, and there you see our definitions. The counts that we obtained for the Bowie Cody, the female clone, and the Texoca were no visible live shoots through the canopy or at the canopy per square foot in 2010 and 2011. So therefore, the live shoots were going to be shielded from spray droplets by a protective canopy in these trials. In the Bison trial, because it was highly treaded upon, it effectively had only a half-inch growing height and was a very thin stand, and we had a fairly high live shoot count visible through the canopy of 5.7 live shoots per square foot in 2010. And too numerous to count in 2011 because it got away from us. We had earlier green up because of a warmer season. So we rated by grid and found we had 11%, 0.7% green up on average in 2011 prior to the spray application. Our local Providence Common had 13.4 and 10.8 live shoots per square foot visible in 2010 and 11 respectively. Here you see an area of the female clone that's visible right after being treated. You can see the visible blue spray dye, and that is a very dense, high-quality stand of buffalo grass in that particular lawn. Unfortunately, there were wildfires in the area, and buffalo grass is an amazing fuel source. We did lose one replication, but it did not compromise the rest of the trial at that site. And you can see it is tolerant to fire. It does green up after that. There was no long-term consequence of losing that replication. Here's the stand of bison visible at the agronomy station at Oklahoma State University right after treatment. And also, I will not review individual plot pictures because the injury is so subtle that it is not captured well in side-by-side comparisons where you display the images. So to show it to you as an audience here, since you weren't there at the time, you have to look at it from the side and look upon it like that to see the actual delay in green up about 2 weeks after application on this bison stand. So that's some of the injury that we were seeing at the worst in these areas here. But yet, after 2 to 3 more weeks of growing conditions, the buffalo greened up, and subsequently, you didn't have your quality effects either, any long-term effect on quality. So these are short-term effects, even at the 2x rate. Now, to summarize the findings, we had no statistical effect at the 5% level on either green up or turf quality, and even no numeric effects for those four trials where we had no live shoots exposed to spray droplets. That's very important because that gives us some assurance that we can use these herbicide treatments if we have a really dense canopy present to shield the live shoots from taking up the herbicide. Presumably, the metabolic active tissue avoided being contacted by the great glyphosate spray droplets. Now, I'm going to skip ahead one slide and then go back. In 2010, this is the bison buffalo grass green-up response. And here you see what we're looking at, mainly the 2x rate producing some effect, and the 2x rate, not only the Promax, the potassium salt, but also the isopropylamine salt producing an effect there. It was only significant, though, in green-up on one particular date. So it's a very minor 2 to 3 week response. Okay, what are our conclusions from these first 2 years? And we will be carrying on the work for another couple of years, and we do have some digital analysis that has not been completed yet, so I stuck with only the most simple of ratings and presentations here. But conclusions thus far are that your non-shielded live plant tissue must be assessed by the applicator. So the applicator has to play an active role in assessing not only if the plants are dormant, but do they have susceptible tissue that could be hit by spray droplets. Where a dense canopy is present, you can use 40 gallon per acre carrier rate and the half through 2x rates and not get injury. But we do suggest that folks not double overlap and not use the 2x rate. Where it is open, the canopy is open, you have to work with cautiously. You can give it a slight reduction in quality and also green up if the susceptible tissue is contacted by the spray droplets. Certainly don't exceed the 0.77 pounds acid equivalent per acre rate, and don't cause 2x double overlap to avoid further problems with this. There's our select presentation of references, and I'd like to acknowledge the Oklahoma Ag Experiment Station, the Oklahoma Turfgrass Research Foundation, and a small grant from Monsanto Products Company, and also appreciation for our technical rep, Dr. Luke Etheridge with Monsanto, for funding and support of the trial. Thank you.
We have time for one question.
Zach.
Dennis, even though you got very little damage with the March treatments, could you even minimize it by going earlier in February or January or even December? That's generally what we struggle with saying, even in Nebraska, we say, let's get to March.
Zach, I would speculate so because the buffalo would be metabolically less active The downside of that is that your target weeds would be metabolically less active also. So it's a delicate dance and balance there, but a great question.
Okay, let's thank our speaker.